Psalms 132. We're continuing our study in the book of Psalms. We should be able to finish Psalms 132 this evening. I think we're down at verse 13. Psalms 132. And look here at verse 13 and 14, and then I'll go to the other verses later. The Bible tells us this: for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach your word. And I do ask for your help to be able to preach it tonight. I pray that you would help me with any illustrations, examples, whatever I need to give, that I can be a blessing. And Lord, when I give an account of this message before you one day, that I could do it with joy. Keep our heads around us, keep us safe. And I just thank you for saving us, those who have accepted you as their Savior. And I just pray that if there be one that doesn't know you, I pray tonight would be the night where they get it settled in their heart that they believe on you. We ask these things in Jesus, your precious name. Amen. So as you remember this psalm, at the beginning part, it talked about David and his desire. He had a desire for God. He had a desire about where to place, you know, the temple, the place, the location of it. And then what we could see is God's blessing to him. We saw, I think last week, we talked about the promises, the conditional promises, and then the promises that was, you know, God, right? Nothing was going to change those promises. And then we got into kind of the last couple verses, verse 11 and 12, talking about the Davidic covenant. That was a covenant God gave to David, and it was, and that was conditional from the standpoint for his sons, but it was a promise that the Messiah would come. So if you think about it, verse 11 and 12, when you get into 13, it's a continuation of the Davidic covenant. And what you see in verse 13, it says, where the Lord has chosen Zion. That word Zion is another name for Jerusalem. Here it is. God has promised that in the future, when he sets up his earthly kingdom, it will be in Israel, but it will be in Jerusalem. This is the place where God promised to set up his earthly kingdom during the millennial reign. We've been talking about the millennial reign on Wednesday evening. But this is the place where God has chosen to set up. Think about it. It's a wonderful thing. You know, there's a lot of people that want to go to Israel and see different things. I think when Debbie and I got married, she talked about it. She would like to go to Israel. I don't know if she still wants to go there or not. But I'm like, I don't know if I want to go to Israel. There's a lot of crazy things that happens over there. But you think there will be a day where I will go to Jerusalem. Amen. When Jesus comes back. Amen. He sets up his earthly kingdom. That's the day I'll go there. Amen. But anyway, he promised that that's going to be a place that he will dwell. Amen. That's a place where there will finally be rest and peace. They're hoping to have peace in this world. Can I tell you, you're never going to have peace until ultimately that day that Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom. So if you remember these things, so it's again, this is the Davidic covenant. He talked about there will be a day that he comes. But then when you look at verse 15 to 18, we see these points here goes back to the Davidic covenant, but these are the conditional parts with it. So this would have been for David's sons. And we know our Lord, you know, that was of the seed of David that was there. But this is the promise that God gave to them. These things could have happened for Solomon. It could have happened to Rehoboam, to his sons, the whole way down the line. They could have had these things. But it was conditional, back to verse 12, if thy children would keep my covenant and my testimony, I teach them, and their children shall also sit on the throne forever. So it goes back to this. It was conditional. What did God promise? Well, look here, verse 15. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. God promised to take care of them. If David's son, Solomon, and his other sons that came after him, if they would have been sold out to God, if they would have been surrendered to God, if they would have kept his word, God promised to bless Israel. That's conditional. Can I tell you that Solomon, the smartest man ever walked on the world, was our Lord Jesus Christ because he was God. But you think about Solomon, he was the smartest person at that time, and other than our Lord Jesus Christ, he was the smartest person ever walked the earth. And you think about Solomon, I mean, he had wisdom. I mean, amazing wisdom that God gave him. But you know, even in all his wisdom that he had, he ended up turning away from God. Human wisdom. I'm not against human wisdom, right? I'm not asking you to be a big old dummy. But the reality is, you think about human wisdom. If you're just using human wisdom and you don't know God, or if you don't have God first in your life, I want you to understand, you could end up just like Solomon. Solomon ended up in a mess. Amen? I mean, his heart was turned away from God. And because of that, it caused consequences in the land. Because you remember his son that came after him, that is when the Israel split into Judah and to Israel. Why was that? Because they turned away from God. But God gave a promise. These were conditional. What else did he say here? He says, I will also clothe your priests with salvation, and their saints shall shout aloud for joy. Right? That the priest would be born again. They would be saved. Amen? They accepted the Messiah. They would be doing things that God would want them to do. They would be righteous priests. And the people that would be in that land would be able to rejoice. When there is righteousness, people rejoice. When there's wickedness, people don't rejoice. Folks, can I tell you, God promised these things to Israel. All they had to do, all the king had to do was just say, I want to follow God. But unfortunately, we know that wasn't the case. Look what else he said. I will also make the horn of David to bud, and I will ordain a lamp for thy anointed. His enemies will I close with shame, and upon himself shall his crown flourish. That was a promise, the Davidic covenant, which was a conditional promise that was given to David. He's saying, I give you power. That the enemies would be ashamed. They wouldn't want to come against you. Why? Because you have God on your side. And those enemies that come, they would lose. Now, when you think about that, and you imagine in your mind, if you were one of the sons of David and you were a king, wouldn't you as a king want this for your people? Wouldn't you want to have people be taken care of? Wouldn't you want the priests to be righteous? Wouldn't you want the people to be shouting for joy? Wouldn't you want to have power that you can defeat your enemy? I mean, I can't imagine any king, anyone that's in power, would not want those things. So, if that's the case, what happened? Why was it? Well, it's because they battled something that we also battle. When we look at their lives and we see this, and we may scratch our head and say, Solomon? I don't know about you, but when I read through my Bible and I see Solomon as beginning, his desire for God, and then I see him when he says that he married many wives, and I'm thinking, oh, Solomon, what are you doing? Oh, Solomon. And what was it? And then you see what happened to Solomon, how his wives turned his heart away from God to serve these false gods. And it just breaks my heart. I'm thinking, Solomon, God gave you these conditional promises. Didn't you want this for your people? And then I think about our wives. And I think about us as believers. So I'm talking about those who have accepted the Lord. You know, God promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Praise the Lord. That is not a conditional promise. That is a promise. But God did promise to take care of us. But you know, that is conditional. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants you to put Him first. But a lot of times, when we think about that, God promised to take care of us. But the reality is, we need to do our part. Well, there's a lot of people that don't want to do their part, right? They just want to sit on their couch and do nothing, right? And they're wondering, why isn't God taking care of me? Why isn't this? A lot of times, God has provided for you, but you just spent your money foolishly, right? You know, you went out and bought a steak. Now, if you can afford a steak, praise the Lord for you. I don't know about you, brother, but when I went to Sam's Club, I saw the price of steaks, and I was thinking, well, that's a little too much for me. I'll eat hamburgers. Amen. I mean, it was like, whoa. We saw something. I don't know what that was. It was $170-some. It was like $170-some. It was probably, yeah, I don't know. It was some big old, I don't know, it was a prime rib or whatever. What's that? I have no idea.
Piece of steak about this big with a bone about this long?
No, it was straight up meat.
That's a prime rib.
May have been prime rib. It was like 170. I'm thinking, give me hot dogs, amen. I'll eat the hot dogs for that. But anyway, what I'm saying from that standpoint is here it is. God gave you money, and after He gave you money, you go to Sam's Club, you buy a $170-some prime rib, and then you're wondering about at the end of the month why you have no money for food. Well, you just bought the prime rib, right? Or you want McDonald's every single night of the week, and you're wondering, why don't I have any money left? Well, you went to McDonald's every single night. Why did you go to McDonald's every single night? Amen. Eat ramen. Ariana likes ramen. Amen. That's good stuff. Yes, that's good stuff. Amen. She loves that stuff. But anyway, what I'm saying is this. You think about the promises that God gave to that king, and we look at that and we would say, why would you not do those things? Why would you not keep His word? And can I tell you, if they were standing here today, they would look at us, Jeremy, and say, look at the promises that God has given you. Why won't you keep it? And I want you to tell you, I want you to think about tonight, and that'll be my theme of my message tonight, is the problem that they had back then is the same problem that we have today. It's that old sin nature. Can I tell you, we have a sin nature. Even though when we look at the Scripture and what the Bible tells us that He's God saying, I'll bless you, it's conditional, but that old sin nature gets in the way. And because we have that sin nature, the things that God wants to do for us, He can't because of what we have done. I want you to think about that this evening, that sin nature. So, and I want to try to help you and me so that way these conditional promises that in the Scripture, that we can have them. Amen? Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that in the second blessing, right? There's people talk about the second blessing where you'll never sin again. You'll never find that in the Bible. The time that you never sin again is when you get to heaven. Amen. That'll be the time you never sin again. We have a sin nature. We're going to battle this sin nature. But at the same time, we can feed our sin nature that causes us to do things more than we should. Or we can feed the Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be sinless, but the reality is it will help you in life. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, so we see these conditional promises that God has given us. We saw the conditional promises. We think, why wouldn't the king do that? Well, it's because of his sin nature, and he gave in to sin. And God can... if they were here today, they could probably say the same to us. You know, you look at those promises and you turn to Galatians 5. Why don't you keep it? Well, it's that sin nature. Amen. But I want you to see in the Scripture and try to help us to have the victory over that sin nature. Amen. I didn't say you would be sinless, but have the victory. Well, let's look here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, for this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. First thing I want you to think about, he's talking about those that are saved. You can't walk in the Spirit unless you're born again. If you're not born again, you can't walk in the Spirit. You're always going to be in the flesh. Now, you can pretend to be a Christian. You can try to act like a Christian. But can I tell you, you're going to be miserable on the inside. People that are miserable are those that are lost, and a Christian that's backward or backslidden. Amen? Someone that's backslidden. Reality is they're going to be miserable. But in these verses, what we can see is God's telling us this is conditional, right? He's not talking about your position, because your position is settled. You have eternal life. Praise the Lord. That's never going to change, right? And now he's telling us how we can make sure that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He tells us to walk in the Spirit, right? That means you're going to have to make an effort. You're just not going to walk in the Spirit unless you're making an effort. You came in here tonight because you walked into the church building. The reality is, when you leave here, hopefully you'll walk out, right? And hopefully it's not a stretcher that takes you out, amen? But hopefully you'll walk out. But that's taking an effort. You have to take one foot and put it in front of the other. So here it is when he's telling us this. For us to stay in the Spirit means you have to walk. That means every day you have to stay in fellowship with God. Spend time with Him. If you're struggling and you're always in the flesh, again, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying none of us are perfect. But if you're always in the flesh, well, ask yourself, are you trying to be in the Spirit? Are you trying to spend time reading your Bible every day? Are you trying to spend time to learn from what you read? Are you praying through the day? Pray without ceasing is not saying every single second that you're praying, right? It's an attitude of prayer, but you're praying. As you're doing things, you can pray, right? You think of things, right? But are you doing that? Are we surrendered? If your desire is to walk in the Spirit, then you're going to have to make an effort. It's just not going to happen. You know, I think of Grandma told us about the hockey team, United States hockey team that they won, right? And they won the gold. And I think that's the first gold they won from what I was reading in 46 years. I think the last one was 1980, when the miracle on ice, when they defeated Russia, you know. But you think about those guys that, I think the ladies won too, didn't they? So, wow. So, but anyway, you think about those guys and even those gals that won the gold. The reason they won the gold, right, the reason they won was because they practiced. They made an effort. It's the reality is, an athlete is, you train your body not on just the days that you feel like it, but you train your body on the days you don't feel like it. When I played baseball and I was a pitcher, you know what they would tell us and what you would read and et cetera. And let's say as a pitcher that you have four pitches, right? Your fastball, you have curveball, changeup, splitter, whatever, right? Knuckleball, whatever four pitches you may have, right? What they would tell you is this: your pitch, your fastball may be on today, but your curveball won't. It is very rare. Even professional baseball players, professional, I'm sure they're not professional. It's very rare to have a pitcher that has four pitches or five pitches, and every single pitch is on that day. Very rare, right? So what they're telling you is you have to make adjustments. You still have to make an effort, right? If you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to make an effort. You may wake up today and you're singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wrench like me. And tomorrow you may wake up and be, oh, wretched back, right? You may wake up tomorrow and you don't feel like it. Well, that's the day you have to realize, if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I got to get the victory. There's been times I have woke up and I've been singing songs in my head. I must have been singing in my dreams or whatever. And sometimes I woke up and I was like, oh, lately I've been waking up more of, oh, my back. But you have to make an effort, you know. We got to stop making excuses of saying, oh, no, let's make an effort to get in the Spirit. Again, we see those conditional promises. We say, oh, we love those. Well, the reality is conditional. You're going to have to make an effort. Amen. Make that effort. Be surrendered. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6. So allow God to speak to your heart. When you learn the Scripture, apply it to your heart. And then we got to surrender. Look here at Romans chapter 6. Do you know surrendering is hard? You know, it is. Do you know why it's hard? Because my flesh doesn't like that. You know?
It wants what it wants.
There you go, right? And this is good, right? Of Mark saying that is good for Jeremy to say that. So that way you understand it's just not the preacher telling you, right? There's others, right? Our flesh doesn't want that. My flesh wants my way. My flesh, there's some days where I was like, ugh, you know? That's my flesh. That's my sin nature, right? And what I need to do is recognize that, right? You know, whenever I feel this bad mood or, you know, just getting a little grumpy or whatever, I have to recognize that's my sin nature and I got to do something, right? If you went outside and you saw some creature in your garden, you see evidence of a creature in your garden, you know, aren't you going to try to do something? If you really care about your garden, right? Again, this is our life, right? This is probably the hardest part because it's surrendering. It's yielding. A lot of us struggle, right? You're going on, what is that, 8:12? You get by the vet's office and you get up. To get up on 37, as you're going up on 37, there's a yield sign there. Why? You need to yield to the people that's coming down on 37, right? And some of us, we probably don't like, I ain't yielding. I go really fast, right? That's there. Well, the reality is, when you think about yielding, it's not yielding to a car. It's not yielding to, it's yielding to God. Look what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 6. We'll start reading his verse 6. So he starts off with our position that we're settled, right? We have eternal life. And then he talks about our practice, our day-to-day living. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So he's telling us a position we're saved, right? For he that is dead is freed from sin. What he's talking about here is the penalty. The penalty, Jeremy, has been paid for. You're free from that penalty. Your debt's been paid. The debt can never come back to you again. That's what God's saying here. When you get saved, that debt, that sin debt's been paid. You have been freed from that. Now you think about it, it's justified, right? Sanctified. That's what God has done for us. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. In that he dieth, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God, right? So now he's saying we know that we have eternal life, and one day we're going to be with him. Now, in verse 11, he's switching from your position to your day-to-day living. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is he saying? Stop trying to live your life in the flesh. Stop trying to live your life for the things of the flesh, right? He's saying, stay focused on God. Goes on. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't give sin a seat on your heart, on that throne that's on your heart, or me, right? I think I've heard you say that, you know. Allow God to sit there. It goes on and says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Here it is. You think about it. God is telling us this. As a believer, you're saved, but now you have a choice to make. Every single day you have a choice to make. You can yield to your sin nature, or you can yield unto God. You have a choice to make. You know someone that's lost, they're not free at all. They can't yield unto God because they don't know God. Someone that's lost is still under the penalty, the wrath of God, and they have no ability. They can't. live unto God. They can't. All they can do is live for sin. They can try to live a righteous life, but they can't, right? Here it is. God is saying, hey, I have set you free, and I'm giving you a choice every single day. You can yield unto sin, or you can yield unto God. He's telling us, but we have to make a choice. That's where we struggle, Mark. Amen? Because a lot of times, my flesh, me, says, I don't want to do that, right? I don't want to be nice to Jeremy, right? That's my flesh. And what I need to do is realize, hey, that's my sin nature. You know, it's important for you and me as believers to stop sometimes and just think, what am I doing? Where am I yielding? When you get ready to do something or get ready to say something, ask yourself, is this yielding unto sin or is this yielding unto God? And the reality is we may have to retrain ourselves to get us to rethink. But that's what he's saying. He goes on and says, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That's power. For you're not under law, but under grace. God is telling you, because you've been set free, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. God is saying, Jeremy, sin doesn't have the power over you that it once did when you got saved. Well, then you may say, well, then why do I sin? Because we yield to it. We choose to yield to it, amen? We give in to yielding to it, amen? What's that? That's what it is. And that what God is telling us is realize, one of the things in Paul struggled with in chapter 7, Paul said, hey, I want you to understand, even though you have a desire to do what's right, you still do what's wrong, it's because sin nature is in there and you're not going to lose it, right? So with that being said, you may then ask and say, well then, how do I get to victory? Well, you get to victory is by, the first you have to get in your mind and say, you know what? I need to yield. Lord, help me to yield unto you. That doesn't mean you're never going to sin again, right? I mean, it would be, I guess, if you could yield 100%, well then, but none of us can. Look over here what he says in chapter 8. Chapter 7 is a good chapter you can read. In chapter 7 shows you that battle between the sin nature and the new nature. And you want to do what's right, and you don't do what's right, and you don't want to do what's wrong, but you do what's wrong. He's saying that's the battle that we have. And look here in chapter 8. Chapter 8. So we could see he's talking about yielding. What we need to do is yield, right? In Galatians, he tells us we have to make an effort. In Romans chapter 6, he's telling us to yield, right? Make a wise choice. I have never regretted one thing, Mark, I have ever done in the Spirit. Not a single thing I have done in the Spirit. Every regret I have, Jeremy, has been in the flesh. Right? So we have to think about that. I need to surrender and say, Lord, I need your help. And then what I need to yield. And look what the Bible says here in chapter 8. In chapter 8, I'll start reading verse 1. He kind of talks about our position, that we're settled. And then he talks about what we need to do. Right? In chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, when you get saved, you have the ability to walk after the Spirit, right? Praise the Lord for that. Those who are lost can't walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. I can never be charged for my sin because it's been paid for. Praise the Lord. Amen. Double jeopardy, right? You think about it as, I think that's what they call, if you got tried for something and you've been found not guilty, they can't retry you for that exact same thing, right? I've been found not guilty from the standpoint, Jesus paid my sin debt, amen? Well, guilty, but he paid it. Look down here to verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, or for sin, condemned for sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, he walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is he saying? You accept Jesus Christ, you are now born again. Then look what he says here, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So when you get saved, there's now a desire within caring for the things of God. That's what he's saying. But you can take a principle of what's here and you can apply that principle. What is that? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. What are you putting in your head? What goes in your mind? If you are constantly feeding your flesh, don't be surprised, that's what you mind, right? There's people that put bad thoughts in their mind. They may be watching bad movies, right? And they constantly watch bad movies, or they watch bad things on the internet, or they get bad magazines that's there. You are filling your mind with wicked things, but you're feeding your flesh, and you're going to mind the flesh. Here it is, what he's telling you is, they that are after the Spirit are things of the Spirit. Why? Instead of putting in things that are ungodly, why don't you start putting in things that are godly? I mean, if you are struggling, you're like, I'm always in the flesh and I can never get out of it. Well, where's your mind? Right? Did you ever hear someone say, hey, get your mind out of the gutter? You know? Well, here, get your mind out of the things of the flesh. You know? Stop putting in these bad things, right? Stop listening to this wickedness. Stop watching wickedness. Stop reading wickedness, right? Because those things are going to what? Cause you to mind the things of the flesh. That's what he's telling you, right? Now again, I'm not standing up here and saying you're going to be perfect. None of us are perfect, right? We all have battles, right? You can, at our home, we try to always set up to watch movies that wouldn't have, you know, some ungodly things in it. And can I tell you, I'm still not perfect, right? I mean, I try to live for God and I still sin. But the reality is this, if I keep on putting good things in my mind, it'll be easier to try to walk in the Spirit versus putting corrupt things in my mind. You put corrupt things in your mind, you're going to mind the things of the flesh. Look what the Bible says if you continue on. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God, right? Is there a desire to please God? Well, stop putting the flesh. You know what I mean? Stop putting the worldly things in there, right? If I constantly just put in, you know, if I just watch bad movies all the time, I'm feeding my flesh. And the reality is this, what will come out is the things of the flesh. You may say, well, preacher, I don't like that. Well, then, your desire is not to fulfill God's desire for you. Amen? You want to feed the flesh. And you have to realize and say, you know what? I have to make a difference. I have to change. Before I got saved, I used to watch all kinds of bad movies, right? Movies filled with cussing and all kinds of crazy stuff. And when I got saved, I don't watch that stuff anymore. I don't want it to be in my life. Because I could, Jeremy. But you know what will happen? That means I'll mind the things of the flesh. And I don't want to do that, right? So the reality is you have to think about it. You have to surrender. Going back to that surrendering. Going back to yielding. And that's where we fight with it. But you have to think, well, what am I putting in? Well, here it is. He's trying to help us. Look what the Bible says now over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6. Look what the Bible says here in Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 7 and 8. Starting at verse 7, we'll go down to 8, maybe even 9. Galatians chapter 6. So he's talking about what? You have to make an effort. You have to surrender. You have to yield. Think about the good things. Look here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. You know, there's people that are deceived. They think they can walk in the flesh. They think they can watch all these bad movies or get on bad internet sites and whatever. They are just deceiving themselves, right? You're deceiving yourself. You're not being wise. Look here. God is not mocked. You're not going to get away with it. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, these ungodly things, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Here's a biblical principle. What is the Bible saying? The Bible's saying, don't be deceived, don't be foolish. God's not mocked, right? If I just continue to put in fleshly things, sinful things, you know what? I'm going to reap that. Now, if I put in things, spiritual things, right? Taking the Bible, reading it, allow God to speak to me, putting in my mind, would it be wholesome, good, you know, righteous things? And the Bible says, then I will reap that. He's not talking about your salvation. He's talking about your position, right? If all I do is constantly sit down and watch movies, and there's a bunch of cussing that's in there, you know what'll happen? It'll be up in my brain. When I was, let me see here. We moved into Waynesboro when I was around 10 years old, I believe. When I was 10 years old, Mark, I never said a cuss word in my life. We moved into town. We used to live in the holler, right? We used to live out in the holler, and then we moved into town. And I remember we moved in there, and there were some boys that sat in front of me. I was a young boy, too. I was 10. They sat in front of me. They'd always look around, and they would say, hey, say a cuss word. I was like, no, I can't do that. That's wrong. And they did that every single day to me. It was. And I can't remember the day, but I remember one day I said a cuss word. They were like, yeah, whatever. Do you know, when I was in sixth grade, when I was 11 or 12 years old, almost every single word that came out of my mouth was a cuss word. And can I tell you, before I got saved, my mouth, they would say a sailor's mouth, that was my mouth. I mean, I was horrible. The words that would say, the wickedness that was there, that would come out. And then when I got saved, I remember when I got saved, God blessed me that I didn't cuss. But Mark, even though I haven't cussed, those words are still there. And can I tell you that first or second year when I was saved, Jeremy, they were there, right? And I like to tell you, I've been saved for 24 years now. And can I tell you, they're still there. But I don't feed them. I don't put them back in my mind, right? I try my best not to watch. I don't watch shows like that. If we turn on a show and someone does that, I'll turn it off. I don't want that back in my brain. You know why? Because, Mark, if I allowed that back in my brain, that you can rest assured, I will start doing it again. God's not mocked. You feed the flesh. Don't be surprised you reap the flesh, right? So here he's telling us, right? So the reality is, he's trying to help us and say, hey, stop feeding the flesh. I'm not talking about your physical body, right? I'm talking about that sin nature. And feed the Spirit. Look at the Bible says over here to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13. Hopefully this is making sense to you this evening. And please, don't take it the wrong way. I'm not getting up here and saying I'm holier than thou and I don't sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to show you from the Bible that you can yield, you can surrender, stop feeding your flesh, and you can walk with God in this world. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. Look over here to the book of Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. I was circled or boxed in this verse. Because when I saw this verse, it really meant something to me. Hey, look over here to Romans chapter 13, verse 14. I'm not saying the other verses don't mean something. They really mean something. But this one really hit home one day. It says, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's not talking about your position. Your position is settled. You have eternal life. What is he saying? To surrender. This is a surrendering, a yielding, right? And look what he says. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When I played baseball, most baseball players, at least at that time, I think there may be some that changed, use smokeless tobacco. You know? You're a baseball player. I remember when I was probably 12 years old, I was playing baseball, and it was when I first got my first chaw, you know. And someone will be listening to preachers talking about chewing, you know. And I got my first chaw, and I got sick. Oh, did I get sick. Red Man. Ugh, I think it was. Red Man, I think it was. Oh, I got sick. I had the biggest chaw you can imagine that's there. And I swallowed a little bit of that stuff, and next thing you know, lunch came out. Oh, it was horrible. But you know what happened? I wanted to be like those baseball players, so I continued to chew. Matter of fact, I got so addicted to that stuff, I used to chew a can a day when we were playing baseball. Matter of fact, I got so bad, there was times I would go through a roll. I think a roll was 10 of them a day. I mean, I used to go through that smokeless tobacco. It was like I'd fall asleep in it. I didn't, but that's what it was like. I mean, I would have it in there all the time. And I remember I came to the place, I was like, I got to stop this. The way to stop it, right, is don't go out and buy it. It is. I guarantee you. So when I first tried to stop, I went out and bought a can. I did. I went and got a can. And I took it and I put it here. Wherever it was. It wasn't here at church. And I put it here, right? Wherever this was. Put it there. You know why I bought a can and put it there? No. Just in case. Just in case, if I had that desire, I wanted some chewing tobacco dip. We called it fatty. You know, we used to call it fatty. Hey, give me some fatty, right? And people look at you today, right? Well, what are you doing? Give me some fatty, right? It just doesn't make sense, but that's what we called it. Anyway, I put it there just in case. Do you know I never stopped? You know I went through that whole can? And I would do it again. And you know what I was doing? I was making a provision for it. Do you know what happened the day I stopped? This is before I became a Christian. I start to read the Bible. Start to go to church. Start to read the Bible. And as I start to read the Bible, something in the Bible scared me. I can't remember what it was. Something scared me. That I went down and got my can of Skol. I opened it up. And I threw it in the trash. And then I took it and I messed it all up in the trash. You know why I messed it up in the trash? Because if I left it on top, I would have went back and chewed it. I guarantee you, I would have made a... I did not want to make a provision for that. And I could tell you, because I was so addicted to it, I went through a can or more a day, that yeah, it was rough. You know, that day and that next day was rough. You know, sweats that were there. Yeah, I was just you know. But then when I got through second day and third day, got a little easier. And when I got through that week, it was a little easier. And when I got through a month, it got easier. Do you know, when I got saved, I knew that so many years that I have chewed, that I knew that after I got saved, I was like, I could feed the flesh and get back to it. Every time I would eat, I'd put in. It was like a comforting thing. It wasn't, right? I was addicted to it. Do you know what I did? I prayed and said, God, help me to get sick, don't like the smell of it anymore. What's that stuff that you get? Wintergreen. I love, before I got saved, Skoll Wintergreen, the green can. Oh, I love that stuff. I prayed and said, Lord, help me when I smell that you not make... Do you know what my daughter likes? Wintergreen. I smell that, it almost makes my stomach... I was like, Ariana, you got to get that out of here. I'm going to puke. But now you know why. You know why, Jeremy? Because I know my old sin nature. And if I smell that, I would want it again and put it in there. And I prayed and said, Lord, you take away that provision. Amen? Here it is. He's telling us this, right? Matter of fact, if I ran in some old baseball players, they would look at you and they would probably testify to you and tell you, yep. They called me sleepy because I really didn't sleep. I was up partying, I guess, most of the time. But they'd call me sleepy. They would say, he used to chew all the time. They would tell you, right? What happened? I don't feed the flesh. I got rid of the provision, right? Stop making provisions in your life. What are you making provisions for? Let's go back to where we started. David's sons were given a conditional promises. And you look at those conditional promises, you would say, why? Well, they turned away from God. You look at the conditional promises we have, you would say, why don't we? Well, we have that sin nature. And the truth is, none of us are perfect. I'm not getting up here preaching I'm perfect. I am far from it. But one thing I have learned in my life is I need to stop feeding my sin nature. Amen. And when I stop feeding my sin nature, Jeremy, I'm not perfect, but I'm a lot better than what I was. Maybe the problem that you're having in your life, you're saved, but you're not feeding the Spirit. And maybe what you're doing is you're constantly feeding that sin nature. And if that's what you're doing, thank God you're going to heaven. But you are missing out of so many blessings that God wants to do for you. May that be your prayer tonight, that you pray and say, Lord, help me not make the provision. Lord, help me not to keep on feeding that sin nature. Lord, help me as to surrender and yield to you to be in the Spirit that I can please you. And can I tell you, when you do that, don't be surprised you start walking with God and that devil attacks you like you've never been attacked before. You know why? Because now your faith is going to be tested. He wants you to get back to the flesh. And you just keep on walking. And what you'll find in time, you're not perfect, but it's a little bit easier than what it was. I'm thankful that God put some conditional promises in His Word. And I'm glad we can look in the Scripture and see how it could help us to walk with Him. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message would help and a blessing. Lord, you know my heart. I surely wasn't saying I'm perfect. I am not. Lord, I still struggle with things. And I'm thankful for your mercy and grace. Lord, the truth of the matter is, yes, we need to do our part, but we need to rely on you to help us. Lord, that sin nature is so strong. And Lord, that's why we need to yield and say, Lord, I need you. I could do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Help us to do our best to make an effort to surrender, to yield, Stop feeding that sin nature. Stop making provisions. And Lord, remember that we're going to reap what we sow, and that we would sow to the Spirit instead of the flesh. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.